Everybody's asking, let's go, everybody back to pay attention to reality here.
The hot weather.
We're going to reconvene, and we're going to be turning to page 21, Cost Center 1070, Police, General Fund, Item B. Sir.
Thank you. Basically, for this budget year coming up, we're kind of maintaining a status quo budget. Two big things that are happening. One is we're taking on dispatch in our budget. So there's another, I think it was 1080 was the other cost center that's going away, but it's just moving over into our budget area to help keep things somewhat simplified. We are asking to add back a records clerk position. We found out the hard way that when we lost the position this budget year, we've had to hire temporary help to help us make it through the year, and so we needed that position. I could certainly use not three more officers, but you know that's kind of an unrealistic expectation right at the moment. But that's about it. Open for questions. Yes, ma'am.
Can I just add two things before questions, because the two other things I want to point out is there is $35,000 for future capital purchases, primarily of a vehicle. This is something you saw in the fire department. And also in capital outlay, you'll see $75,000. That is for the replacement of current vehicles. I believe it's
two
vehicles. So I just want to make sure that you're aware that we are replacing some of the vehicles in this year's budget, plus we're putting some in reserve for future purchases. So make sure you saw that. Thank you.
Chief, there's on page 23, just a question. Hardware and software expenses, $46,000 one year goes to five, $310,000 next goes to eight, up and down. Are we not...
This has to do with our records management system and our former CAD system primarily. We, Lincom had an in-house IT person that wasn't working out too well, and so we contracted with the county to handle our IT services when it comes to the CAD system and the records management system. So that's how that's been going up and down.
The point is, though, that I don't really know. You got 310, 500, and then you go to 8,000. Am I looking for a 310, 500 next year? See, I don't know what this hardware and software is. I have no idea what we're spending on this. I'm not asking for an answer to this. I'm just saying it's a problem that I see by just taking a look at this simple budget page. Consumable supplies from 138,000 in 11 to 95, non-consumable supplies. I don't quite know how we're going to reword this. David has a suggestion. I'll take a suggestion.
So here's a suggestion. I spoke with David Marshall during the break. For all these budget items, for all these accounts or departments, we have a summary sheet, and then we have the line items. For the materials and services and for the capital outlay, we're really given general information, like, for example, on page 23. I would really like to see on the summary page another section that just at least correlates what we see on page 23 and have just a general description. So, for instance, say for professional technical services, we're $168,000. I don't really have an idea what that's being used for. Perhaps just a general summary on the summary page as to what is that being used for. Property services. Operating expenses. I see you have significant operational budget change, and that probably is the Willamette Valley Communications issue, but I think the summary page should more correlate to the line items, so we're not asking questions. I like this summary, but perhaps there should be more to it.
I have to follow his direction.
No, but I'm saying, I spoke with David about that, and I think he agreed. That's a simple way of at least giving us more information without having to ask questions during the meeting.
Sure. Not a problem.
The object was to trim down the budget, and we are trimming it down. The point is that we have trimmed it down to a very effective instrument for the department heads, but it's sort of trimming us out of the picture. So we do need that summary page to take a look at consumable supplies, non-consumable supplies. Just something to tell us what a non-consumable supply is from your point of view. Patricia?
Okay. David wanted to say something. His
hand was, go ahead.
Okay. Well, my questions are more specific to his department. So, you know, you want this halftime record clerk, is that right?
No, it's full-time.
Is it full-time?
Yeah.
It says record clerks two, so I guess is just one full-time because you'll have two, is that correct?
Right now we have two record clerks, and we're using a halftime temp because of contractual, we can't give her any more hours than halftime.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Could you do without it?
Could we do without it?
Yeah.
We've done without it this year, but we've had to hire on temporary employment to get us through. But so in other words, no, we need it.
What does the future look like in terms of all of those systems that are always changing, of course, in federal requirements and state requirements and so forth? Is it going to require more record keeping, or do you think it's the automation is going to help and it's going to get less down the road?
You know, ever since we went to automation years ago, we still have paper files. You know, the idea of being paperless isn't happening. It does help us. If we did not have this automation, we probably would need at least one, maybe two more people, you know, to help keep the stats that we have to send on to the state and on to the feds. But that's being done, you know, through the records management system.
Okay, just two more questions. The second question is, you mentioned grants. I think there's some grants in here. Do you guys do your own grants, or do you farm those out? How do you...
You mean as far as grant writing?
Grant writing, yeah.
We basically do our own. There hasn't been that many law enforcement grants, if anything. The latest COPS grant that came out specifically for school resource officer, we looked at, but their requirements and what they were going to give was $125,000 for 3 years, and we would have to guarantee a fourth year. $125,000, that's it total. So we'd actually be having to spend 3 years worth of match. And then this year they changed it, but last year when they did the same offering, they also required that we hire a vet, which nothing against vets, but sometimes there's somebody else in the pool that rises to the top a little bit more.
Oh, okay. And then my other question was this, let's see, where is it? This institute a law enforcement explorer program. It's under your goals, budgets, and your objectives.
Correct.
Something tells me that's not free. So what exactly is that?
Law enforcement explorer program is for youth between the ages of 14 and 21. It's basically a Boy Scout program, explorers, that they get to learn all about the law enforcement career. And no, it isn't free, but they do have to bear a lot of their costs as far as registration, uniforms, you know, that type of thing. But you know, we will have police officers that are acting as the coaches, so to speak.
Okay.
What happens if we take away one of the cars out of the two of you? What's the impact?
What's the impact? We didn't get a new police car, black and white, this year. We elected to take the money we had for one police car this year, and we bought two vehicles to replace unmarked vehicles that were starting to be on there. One's definitely on its last legs. They sell it to you cheap for $300. But the goal that the City Council wanted us to have in the past, and our goal was to replace two police cars a year. And that's just, we rotate them in and then rotate them out.
David, you?
I'm sorry, Rob.
Okay,
Rob. On capital outlay sheet, you have $75,000, and I'm assuming that's for the two patrol cars. But then on your worksheet on page 22, it has cost model of guidance is $90,000. Is the extra $15,000 for supplies and materials to outfit those patrol cars?
That would be part of the deal.
So 85% of dispatch went into your budget. Where did the other 15% go?
Fire department.
I don't see them in front of you, though. As a separate.
You see that under services provided by other governments because we contract with the City of Salem.
What page is that? I'm sorry, Jim, where was that from?
That we bought. And let me look at the.
It's just in the police, they actually had a simple dispatch sheet that correlated over. I didn't see it on the wire.
While you're looking for that, I have one more question, and that is on response times. How is the police department doing? I mean, is there like an average of what you guys go by that you want to respond to a call in some minutes or whatever? How are you working with those stats?
Well, right now, we don't have those stats available to us, but we just try and respond to priority calls within a couple minutes. Priority calls or the life-threatening calls, and other calls that are not life-threatening, cold incident calls, we get to them when we get to them.
Okay.
Follow up to that question, is that you have this conduct annual public surveys?
Yes.
I'm presuming that if you guys didn't respond in a good fashion, that would probably come out the survey with a negative comment, right?
Probably. We've had other negative comments. So,
but specifically on response time, because you're going to get two new vehicles and you wanted to know what the impact was. So what I'm wondering is the reason for that request for two new vehicles is because you're maybe lacking in response time. Maybe, you know, north of Newport doesn't get, you know, responded to quick enough, or south of Newport or whatever.
Well, the vehicles don't have anything to do with response time. It's the police officers inside them.
Okay.
And the police officers need to have good equipment. That's basically their office, and they're the ones that have to chase the bad guys. We had a pursuit a couple years ago when our guys got shot at during the pursuit. They need to have good equipment, and that's why we try and rotate two new police cars in every year. And this is what we like, and then the older patrol cars will move off to, maybe a different assignment or not use as much until eventually it rotates out of the our fleet and usually goes to either Parks and Rec or the airport.
In that fleet, is that the volunteer ones too that I see every once?
The volunteer car is an old police car. It's an old police car.
So to help clarify this, if you replace two vehicles every year, then how long does a given vehicle stay in that primary, best vehicle mode before it's cycled out into that next category?
Well, ideally,
5 years.
We're looking at 3 to 4 years. Realistically, we have to hang on to them longer.
The reason I brought that up is when we went through this at the pre-budget meeting, I shared an experience where the county road department typically only expects to get maybe 7 years out of their vehicles, large largely because they're stored outside. That's the situation we have here. And I think it's pretty easy to draw the conclusion that, you know, somebody out fixing a road, yes, they need to have good equipment, they need to be able to get there, but it's not nearly as critical as an officer that's driving a vehicle at 80 or 90 miles an hour and really has to have, you know, that top-end equipment. So we're talking about the difference between a 4 or 5 year old vehicle versus 7 years, probably really being way too long for that kind of vehicle.
Dean?
I had a couple of questions. Patricia brought up the grant issue, and I see it's dropped dramatically. Are your remaining, the main grants that you're working on now, is mainly the ODOT, the DUI, and the CPOC grants?
Well, there aren't any ODOT grants, any seatbelt grants or DUI grants anymore. Grants, at least for the law enforcement side of things, have been drying up. Yeah. You know, we've been trying to be a little bit more creative. And we are going to get an ODOT traffic safety grant coming up, but we don't, the burn grant, you know, there's been so many restrictions on that one. It used to be that the burn grant, the feds would say, this is how much money you can have, here it is. Now you have to qualify for it, and not every agency qualifies for it, and we don't know what the qualifications are to begin with. So we still look for grants, but they're not out there like they used to be.
Have you ever had a discussion with the sheriff's office to put in for projects for Homeland Security money that comes out of ambulance? I know they spend a lot of that on radio, the microwave system for the county and stuff.
Yeah, well, that's been the big push that benefits us, is them going after the Homeland Security money for the radio system, because our radio system needs help. Needs a lot of help.
I also have some questions on the West Valley. I know that when we first started talking about this, you guys had several figures you were throwing at us what it was going to cost. I understand that there's a new cost now for after-hour locates, and we're going to contract with Lincoln City Police, and that's about $1,800 a year, I understand.
That hasn't been determined yet.
It hasn't been determined yet. Okay. And then also, I understand that West Valley is not going to be doing locates on stolen properties, APBs, and stuff like that that Lincom used to do. I guess my assumption is at some point they're going to start charging us for those particular tasks.
We're still in discussions on that, so nothing's been settled.
Because those costs will impact your budget, is that not correct? Mm-hmm.
I think that's all I have.
Yeah, thank you.
David?
No.
Oh,
I was just getting out of grants. We don't budget those unless we have them in hand. Isn't that correct?
They in the past, they've kind of estimated what the grant revenue might be.
Yeah.
And generally, we estimate low in case we get
more. Right.
And if we do get a grant during the course of the year, well, noted as a supplemental budget, and the council will pass a resolution to supplement the budget as an additional revenue and then show the corresponding expense as how that grant will be spent. So what we try to do is estimate what the grants may be, but if grants are being looked at during the course of the year and one pops up, we just handle it that way through supplemental budgets. I have a question, Chief. I know personnel services, we're just showing the line item that includes benefits and everything else, but you know, overtime is a big expense for the police department. What's your estimates for the overtime budget for this year, and how does that change or correspond to previous years?
The estimate or what requesting is $150,000, which is what we requested last year, which is in the current budget. I'm fairly certain we're going to come in under that, but we also still have a couple major events that are going to be happening, and we also never know if the big one's going to happen. So.
And also on the, and this is where the summary descriptions can perhaps address this in the future, for professional technical services, there was a big jump last budget year and the proposed budget. For your police department, what's usually included in professional technical services that rise to the level of about $170,000?
Well, one of those things was the data processing service. with the county. And the other one is we've plugged in, or requested to plug in, $35,000 for abatement services, because we're intending to possibly burn down a couple houses over on Northwest 9. And we would need, guesstimate it's going to cost us about $25,000 just to get all the asbestos and bad stuff out of there. And then hopefully after that, get the fire department to burn it down, which makes it a little bit cheaper.
I guess I'm maybe not clear. I thought the expenses that you were contracting out with Lincoln, that was under the HW and SW expenses, which no longer are there because we're now going to Willamette. I thought that was the HW and SW expenses, which was at $310,000, and now that we're not using Lincoln anymore, that went down to $8,000, or was that something else?
I think that was something else.
Well, I thought that's what you were referring to in that amount. What is that then? I mean, why then for HW and SW expenses, why the dramatic increase? What caused that from $310,000 to $8,000?
Can I jump? I'm pretty sure that is the
event. Okay, well, that's what I'm asking.
From hardware, software expenses down to the up to the operating expenses. So that's why those two
just. Okay.
But the property services is primarily, I think, what you've said.
What did you say? Okay.
It's $35,000 for demolition of the building.
Okay.
This well, one from 46 to 79. So
I guess what I'm trying to do here, Jim, is maybe for future budget documents, if we're going to keep this format, just note that maybe for some of these line items that really don't have any description to them other than just the reference, perhaps just provide a more clear summary in the front page so we don't have to worry and take up time to ask questions about what's in that item.
Great, great point.
Thank you.
David, a quick question for you on format that was generated by David and Alan's comments on the revenue. On some of these, you have revenue listed under the proposal, and on other ones you don't. And on the general fund, I think they're all in the back. Was there a reason for that? Or
yes. General fund revenue is, by its nature, for the general fund, and we've taken in the past municipal court fees, $140,000, $150,000. It's no more specific of municipal court fees than it is to finance. And if we're going to identify general fund revenues to cost centers, then I should be paid for out of business license, and I'm not. The great majority, 57% of all the general fund revenues, are property taxes. And then the next one way down the list is franchise tax fees of $900,000. So what we did this year is we've moved all of the general fund revenues, no matter how large or small, into what's called non-departmental, which I'll explain later, so that it's understood that everything comes into the general fund, pays for everything, but nothing specific.
So before we go away from one more question, I had this on my notes and I don't know if I asked it or not, but what is your biggest obstacle or challenge in your department? Financially speaking.
Oh, financially. Well.
Sorry.
It's bad guys.
I don't want to get into relationships here.
And we already went by the other day.
Well, the biggest challenge, and it's financially related, is maintaining minimum staffing of patrol officers on the street. And, we are basically bare bones. We've had to pull one of our patrol officers and put him into Lent, which is, Lent's important on our direct team, but still that shorts patrol. So that's the biggest challenge.
Would you trade your two cars for another officer?
No.
The only issue there is the car is a one-time expense with ongoing with some maintenance, but two full-time positions is the ongoing annual. I mean,
right.
it's different. Well, it's a it's a different issue.
Yeah. Do we have any other questions related to the police funding? Anybody? Chief, thank you very much. Appreciate that. We're going to move on to page number 29. Mr. Smith and his library commentary. Page 29. It sounds like a bingo number, and we've got 55 more minutes. We're going to have fun.
Okay. Ted Smith, Library Director. And I think if you look at my budget, you'll see that it's, especially the operating expenses, are very, very flatline and have been for the last 3 or 4 years anyway. The big things on my budget, and I have them on page number 30, if you're looking there, I've got a $20,000 consultant fee to pay for one quarter of a community needs and building needs analysis. And the thing that's generating this is that the library's become extremely claustrophobic. We've jammed in shelving and in every nook and cranny that we can. The lighting is in some places not good. The carpeting is all worn out. And before we spend any money fixing up the building, we really need to know what needs to be done with the building. Can it be used in its present state? Does it need a major renovation? Do we need a new building? And we can't, you know, I don't want to start throwing money at anything like putting in new carpet and finding out 5 years from now that we got to knock down walls and redo everything and move shoving around, exposing carpet that's faded and carpet that's new. So before we start spending money on a building, we really need to have somebody come in and look at it and say, these are things that need to be done. These are things that need to be planned for. So anyway, that's what's in there. I've got two grants out that I'm going to find out about in June, that will pay for half of this, and then my library foundation has agreed to pay for the other quarter. I've reduced the line item that had membership fees and dues by $13,000, and just sprinkle that money throughout the rest of the budget for other operating costs. That again is still savings that we're seeing from the switch from the Coastal Resource Sharing Network Consortium to the Ocean Books Consortium. And this is the last year that I've been able to get it down to the absolute number. The original number was $68,000 for the Coastal Resource Sharing Network. Last year I had it down to $48,000. This year I've got it down to $27,000. And those savings, we plow back into the book budget, and this year I'm plowing those savings just into operations. So pretty much that's it. I mean, the rest of it, increased electrical, because I need more electric. I'm using more electricity than we have in the past. I reduced gas because, you know, we got a couple of things fixed, and we're not using as much gas as we have in the past, but I'm using more electricity. Tit for tat.
Very good. Questions for the library staff? Yes, sir.
I didn't see in the summary much of an explanation on personal services, and yet there's nearly a $100,000 increase in there. What's the detail behind that?
You know, that caught me. You're going to have to go to David for that. I do have this that I can tell you. I did ask for a very small raise for four of my staff members. I have four staff members. First of all, with the exception of Jim, you guys have to know that the library staff are the lowest paid people in the city. And I have four staff members with college degrees who are making less money than our meter readers. And they're going into the public schools every week. They're going into the daycare centers every week. They're going into the juvenile detention centers with programs that they designed themselves. Yet we're paying them less money than we're paying our meter readers. And they all have college degrees. They're all working with children from this age up through high school on their campuses and with the teachers. And I ask if I could bring them up slightly to at least the same pay rate or pay level as meter readers. And Jim was said, put it in the budget and see how it goes. It amounts to, I believe David and I talked about it, I believe it amounts to less than $5,000 a year. So I don't know where that other $100,000 is. Because I'm not getting ready, so I don't know if anybody else is either.
I'm frantically looking for it.
Yeah. So, do you have another question?
No.
I have a question. So, do you have any volunteers, Ted?
We run between 45 and 62. Right now, we're somewhere
45
in
45 and 62 volunteers?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Over 1,500 hours a year in volunteers. So, we use a lot of volunteers.
That's really good. And do you get a lot of, I mean, I noticed that you've got, I know this is really sad. I know you're asking for furniture, and I know why.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many other issues that you deal with that cause you to have these expenses, and I'm just wondering, is there a way to alleviate some of that stuff? I don't want to get graphic here, but
We're not buying furniture with fabric anymore. That's one thing.
Ted went into great detail at our goal setting session about this.
Yes.
Didn't you?
And I understand that, and it is an issue. Uh-huh. I mean, I do use the library frequently, so I get it. And I just don't know, you know, what you can do to help alleviate some of that stuff.
It's not as comfortable, and it's certainly not as aesthetically pleasing, but the chairs that we're purchasing from, the ones that we got off for all of our internet terminals, a couple years ago, are all waterproof, odor-proof, they clean easily, and the chairs that we, as we go along, we'll be adding more chairs to the library. Same thing, again, not as comfortable and not as aesthetically pleasing to the eye, but certainly functional to the point where we can soap them down and with, you know, Murphy soap and water and clean them up.
Anybody else? Yes, sir.
On your $20,000 consultant fee.
Yes, sir.
It's noted that it's paid for one quarter of complete community needs and building needs.
Mm-hmm.
Who's covering the other two-thirds?
I have two grants written to cover a half of it. And again, if I don't get those grants, actually, if I don't get one of those grants, this is all null and void because we can't do it without it all. But I have a very high expectation of getting both grants. And then my library foundation is going to come up with the other quarter.
Yeah.
So the consultant is going to be in the 80,000?
There will be three consultants, basically, in the $80,000 range. One's going to work within the community. The other one is a building specialist who's going to go through our building and look at the way we use it now recommend, if possible, changes that we can make to find some space with the floor plan we have currently. And the other thing is to bring forth a totally professional document to you all to say, this is what needs to happen in the library and on the library grounds within the next X number of years to meet the needs of the community and go from there.
Jim?
One challenge I'll point out with this study, likely it'll come out that we need a new light library building, which is needed. I mean, that's clearly we need more space. But we look at the city as a whole, and we probably have to go out for bond for something like that. You know, we're going out for hopefully for bond for the swimming pool. The fire station is probably our next biggest need that we'll have to go out for bond. So as important as the library is, when that goes out for bond, it's probably going to be 10 years out. In 10 years, we're going to be doing another study, this exact same thing, to make sure all the assumptions were right. So as much as I would like to really support this because I think it's really needed, I think the reality is if it comes out that we need to go out for a bond to build a new facility, we'll be spending the same money in the future. So as you're thinking about this and balancing all the things, keep in mind this $20,000.
Are you talking about the $20,000?
What's that?
I'm talking about that $20,000.
Yeah, I'm talking about the $20,000. Yeah.
But if we could get the consultant, and even though we can't get a bond out for another 10 years, they should be able to tell us how to best utilize the building, shouldn't they?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's a valuable.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they're going to look at how to best utilize the existing building
and
come up with
said.
What kind of building does the community need for a library, which is kind of two different things.
Yeah.
I guess I just understood. Mm-hmm.
One consultant is going to look in the community and not really be in the library at all, but be in the community for a period of almost 6 months,
right,
finding out what the community wants in a library.
Right.
And the other person who's going to be actually in the building is only going to be in the building, looking at it from a perspective of eyes that I see it every day, and
right,
we just bring in somebody in who's a professional and say, this is your building, and to make suggestions for ways we can get more efficiency out of it now, but also to point out to you guys things that are totally inefficient and totally incapable of being fixed, so that at some point in time, I think Jim's absolutely right, at some point in time, we're talking about
big bucks somewhere, either a new building or major money for renovation. But perhaps this, I don't say perhaps, I'm hoping that the building consultant can say, we can get 25% more space utilization out of what you got if you just rearrange this, you do that, those kind of things.
Which is important if we're going to wait 10 years.
If we're going to have to wait 10 years. And especially, I've got carpet that you can almost see the threads now, and we're going to have to put new carpeting in that building, and I hate like heck to spend that kind of money until I know for sure what I need to do.
But Ted, it sounds like even though Jim said this might have to be looked at again in 10 mm-hmm. years from that perspective, this is going to be paid solely out of grants, and the Library Foundation is making that decision to help pay for it. So that's mm-hmm. really kind of...
75% of it.
So, I mean, and that's their judgment call mm-hmm. to do that because they're separate from the city budget and they, and, you know,
I will
make
be
those...
I will be taking the same proposition because the Library Foundation told me that they don't want to do this study and have it sit on a shelf. And so... You know, what I'd recommend is put the money in here and just save place for it.
Right.
Place
for
the Library Foundation, if we get the other two grants and the foundation says, we don't want to wait 10 years. We don't want to do this study and spend this kind of money to have it sit on a shelf for 10 years. I can't guarantee you which way, but the foundation has said to me so far that they'd like to know, you know, what the building, can the building be utilized the way it is you know, if we can't do anything for 10 years, they have money that they want to start, you know, putting in building improvements and things like that.
Okay. So Ted, my final question is, that's on page 29, under continued programs, outreach to adults, young adults, and children through. Mm-hmm. You've got schools, preschools, juvenile detention center, rehabilitation center. So do you get any kind of support from the Lincoln County School District? Nope. Do you get anything at all?
No.
So you get nothing for your staff going to some of these schools, providing some kind of outreach. The juvenile detention, I think that's under the county. Do you get anything
We don't get
at
anything
all?
For any of that.
You
know,
get
none
nothing.
Of them get,
but
if,
yet,
if
you're
if
going to have
schools, none of them have any money.
But yet you've got computers, and if I'm not mistaken, the kids come in there mm-hmm. after school and use those computers and stuff.
Yep. And we do programming on Fridays when the schools are closed called Schools Out, Libraries In, just to, you know, to have some place for the kids who aren't in school to come and you know, have some functional programming, some time for them to spend in a learning environment.
And so the writing classes, is that just all gender, or is that more?
Yeah, and these writing classes are more along the lines, these are for adults.
Adults,
for
okay.
the most part.
Okay. Just this is kind of noise level stuff, but you got increased telephone expenses, $1,600 in there. I thought the new phone system was supposed to be.
Well, I'm based that $1,600 on what the old phone system's costing me. I have no idea what the new one will cost, and the old one is kind of eating me alive. So,
yeah. Jim, do we have an overall idea how much we're going to save with the new phone system?
Yes, we're looking at citywide saving about $25,000 a year. But Ted is right. For budgetary purposes, we did it on existing
sure.
rates. Think of that. Once it's fully implemented, then there will be cost savings.
Right.
Alrighty, any other questions for library? Anybody?
I'm curious if David found the answer to that question about the increase of $100,000.
I'm hoping it's a grotesque mistake and
okay.
we have an answer tomorrow.
Okay, good. Well, that's fine. I just want to check in on it.
I think it is. I can't imagine.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't have a bonus.
You'd like to know about that.
We will check after the meeting what kind of car you're driving.
It's about 13 or 14 years old.
He doesn't.
That's good cover. Thank you very much, sir. Okay. The next phase we're going into is kind of interesting here. It's a cost center, 1310 to 1350, starting on page 33. Facilities, maintenance, etc. Who's going to handle this?
Tim Gross will handle that when he gets the public.
So we're going to drop right over that?
Yeah, he'll bring that up. He couldn't be here tonight.
All right, fine. That's very good. We're going to move ahead to Section F, City Administration. City Administrator appropriation level, etc. Pages 9 to 20.
What happened to community?
Derek's not here today.
Okay.
He'll be here too.
He'll be here next.
Yeah, Derek said after the council meeting when I checked in that he'll be here next Tuesday to go through the community development stuff.
So what page is it?
Okay, who's on tab for the city administration?
I'll do the first half, and David will do the second half.
All right, very good. We're starting on page, what page you want to start on?
Nine. Council and mayor.
Very good, we're moving along.
What you will see in this budget is primarily the same as last year, although we have included a line item, and it's totaled under operating expenses of additional $40,000 for economic development purposes.
Where's this?
Where's that?
Where's this again?
Page 9, operating expenses.
Yeah. You can see the $95,000 for the operating expenses.
Okay, I see. Got it.
What that represents is $40,000 in there for the council to provide an opportunity if an economic development opportunity comes up. You heard one today about the hospital. They have a facility they want to build. It'll bring jobs here. It'll bring economic development. That's an example. You know, this is just a budget. That doesn't mean you're supporting that, but it does mean you're putting money aside so that the council, if an opportunity comes, has some funds in their discretion to help economic development. So you'll see that in there.
What is the rest of the $50,000, the $7,000, $95,000, since we didn't see this before?
Okay.
If it gets back to the summary page, that would be helpful. I
thought maybe we were all getting raises.
primarily it's $20,000 of that is membership and dues to various things, and that's Cascade West is $10,000, LGPI $1,400, LOC $7,000. So these are organizations that the county belongs to that makes up $20,000 of that.
The
county or the city?
City.
Are there any guidelines drawn up yet by the council for these community development, economic development projects? The hospital comes in and says, geez, we're building an education center. We've been working on it for 10 years. We got the money to build the doggone thing now. We'd like the city to jump in and give us some money to show support for it. Do we have any guidelines? Because the next guy sitting next to him is going to come in and say, I'm going to do this, and I'd like the city to jump in and help me too.
No, we don't, to answer your question, no, we don't have any guidelines. At this point, we just want to put money in the budget, and then if it gets adopted, then probably the first step will be the council giving staff direction, come up with some guidelines so that, you know, organizations, businesses can come forward and say, I've got this great economic development plan, idea, I want the city to help out.
But Jim, this
$40,000.
Well, I'm looking at the difference between 45 and 95. That's $50,000.
Yes, and I didn't.
Is that correlated to the $50,000 with respect to the additional position we were going to help fund through the chamber last night? Is that kind of where that's going, or is that in a different item?
That you'll find that in the non-departmental.
Okay. I just want to make sure. It looked like it. Okay, that's good to clarify, because that was a discussion we had last night, so we'll get to that later. Okay.
Yeah, so for economic development, you'll see it two places, $40,000 in the council and mayor budget, and then $50,000 in the non-departmental budget.
But that will be an item the council will deal with apart from us.
Yes.
Yes, very good. Okay.
Do you have a question?
We never got the rest of the answer. There's $60,000 accounted for out of that $145,000. There, what's the rest of it?
What are you looking at? Where are you?
Well, there's professional and technical services.
What page are you on?
Page 9.
Okay.
On page 9, there's $50,700 in professional and technical services. There's $7,000 for property services, there's operating expenses of 95, and my question was, I'd like a breakdown of that. We heard what $40,000 is, we heard what $20,000 is, there's a lot left. What is it?
About $10,000 is in the membership and dues. And I would say that we just underestimated last year, because I can tell you what the membership and dues is. 20,000, and again, the big chunk of it is Cascade West. And I'll just go through the membership and dues. $10,000 for Cascade West, $1,400 for LGPI, $7,000 for LOC, $200 for YB, $500 for OCMA, MA, and $150 for OMA, which is the Oregon Mayors Association. That's primarily where they.
Jim, that's still. You only gave us the answer for $60,000 out of what's $160,000 there.
You want to know what the entire breakdown is?
Well, not necessarily in gross detail, but just generally, because I've got no idea at all. Most of I do, but this one I don't.
You said 160. Can you help?
Well, there's 50,700 in that first line item.
Can I just ask a clarifying question? Are you looking at the operating expenses line item, the 95,000?
That's one of them there, and it calls the third one down.
I think the questions we have, Jim, is I'm also just would like to know generally for the professional and technical services what that 50,000 relates to, and then the property services and the all operating expenses. I mean, consumable supplies, I guess, and that's a little different, but okay. The operating expenses of 95,000, how's that broken down?
Okay. You're kind of jumping around. Let's just start at the top and we'll go one by one. Professional and technical services, that's 50,700.
Right.
Okay. Audit services, 30,000. Legal services, 5,000. Professional financial services, 14,000. Advertising, marketing, 200. Election services, 1,500. That comes up with 50,700.
What was that 30,000 for at the beginning?
Audit.
Audit. Okay, thanks. Audit. Got it.
Okay.
Got it.
That answers that question.
Good. Okay.
Office services, cleaning expenses, $1,550. That's for city hall kind of stuff, just miscellaneous stuff. Electrical expenses, $4,131. That's just the distribution of electrical costs to the building. Garbage expenses, $613. Again, that's just the distribution of our overall cost. Gas heating expenses, $1,549, and that comes up to your $7,843.
Didn't that used to be a non-departmental, all that stuff? I mean, this seems odd that's under the city council. I used to remember the city hall expenses would be in the non-departmental or something else, but maybe that's just changed.
When you say city hall, you've got the police.
Those expenses, those utility, now are spread out amongst all of the various departments. And council manager is...
Got it. Okay. I see what we're doing. Okay.
We'll have to turn out the lights.
Okay. So now we're going to go through the
operating.
Operating, that's $96,300. And travel, this is within... the county, $100. Travel outside the county, $1,000. Printing expenses, $100. Maintenance agreements, $2,000. And that's, again, a distributed cost for copiers and all a bunch of other kind of stuff. The big one, membership dues and fees, that's $20,000. Shipping expenses, $500. Training, and again, for the council, $7,000. Volunteer expenses, this is primarily the volunteer dinner, $7,500. Permits, licenses, fees, $100. That's just kind of a miscellaneous in case something comes in. Services provided by other government agencies, $7,000. And economic development, that's at $40,000 we've already talked about.
Okay.
And we also have $10,000 for nonprofit seed money. That's for some of the service organizations we give out $10,000.
Great. We established a program there.
For computer and hardware, $1,000.
Okay.
If the computer goes down. For the consumable supplies, that's $70,500, and that's made up of office supplies and materials of $3,000, refreshments of $500, audio and video expenses, and that's the meeting taping by Toledo, as well as a little bit of money in case something breaks, and that's $14,000. and that equals either $17,000.
I'm glad you didn't say that's how much coffee I drink over the course of the year.
And then for the non-consumable, there's $1,000 for office supplies and materials. That's it. That equals $173,343.
I have a question that is just because it intrigued the heck out of me. Under capital outlay for the fiscal year 11, there's a $6 for something.
I have no idea.
Just
curious. Would you really like to know?
Yeah, I just said, well, if you have it available.
No.
All right, we certainly don't want to take each of these line item, go back to the line item analysis of each of these. That was a good example. Do you have any other questions for this one significant budget on page 9?
I do. I just one little quick question. So this is a new thing, the business development, and that's under your property service operating expenses of that $95,000. So is this a new thing that just happened? Is this something that the council was in the goals, or something the council dictated?
Yes, economic development was one of the major goals of the council. So there are two places in there. One, $40,000, which is discretionary for the council, that when that great opportunity comes up, they have some fund budget. It doesn't mean they have to use it, but it means they have the opportunity to help economic development. And then in the non-departmental is $50,000, and that's to hire a person not within the city, but to through the chamber. The chamber would also combine or provide some money to hire somebody to help retain jobs in Newport, to help get jobs in Newport. So we're really pushing economic development.
Okay, and so that money gets there from where again?
General fund.
From the general fund. And where is it taking, when it gets into the general fund, it's taking it from somewhere. So what source of revenue is it coming from once it's being placed in the general fund? And it's got to get in there. So how is it getting in there?
It's just general fund money. We get money from property tax, franchise fees, business license. We get all this.
So that's my
question. It all goes into the general fund. Remember, when it goes to the general fund, we don't say property tax goes to the police department. We don't say business license goes to the finance part. It goes into the big general fund bucket, and it pays for anything there.
Okay, so this is the question and concern that I have. So when you have entities like the business license or water fees or wastewater fees or whatever, some of those are dedicated. You can only use them for certain things. And so when people go to pay these fees or whatever they are, it goes into the general fund, and then it gets spread out into different places. And sometimes it doesn't meet the criteria or the purpose or the definition of the fee it was set out for. Like, for instance, last night, you were taking money out of the business license fund for economic development. It does not state that in the purpose. But yet that money goes into the general fund, and then it gets plucked. And so I see this reoccurring theme. And so, and last night was pretty evident, you have a public works department that doesn't have enough revenue to meet its demand. And I don't want to get into that, but I just see this this situation arising where you have, you know, you institute a fee for this or a license for that or whatever, and people think that they're paying into a certain thing, when in essence, it gets into the general fund and then it's being plucked.
I just have to respectfully disagree, because we are very careful with our utilities that water revenues go to the water department, stays within the water department. Wastewater fees stay within the wastewater. We don't cross over. Now, you can transfer some if there's some services provided by the general fund to the water or wastewater. Well, that then you can transfer monies because you're getting a service. But we just don't arbitrarily say we're going to take water fees and put it into the general fund. All of the other funds, they go in. There's only one particular revenue source that I can recall off the top of my head that has some specific use, and that is the GP franchise fees, and that comes into the general fund. But by resolution, that has to be used for a certain specific purpose. So we go to the council and say, this is what we're going to use the GP franchise fees for. But other than that, all general fund monies go into the general fund. And I'll let David kind of elaborate on this.
Well, it just kind of goes to the point, and you just have the one question you have to ask. Why aren't some of these departments sustaining themselves? Why isn't the public works sustaining themselves? Why isn't Parks and Recreation sustaining itself? If you don't, you got to do the transfers. You got to take money from one place to another to make something happen. So in the department itself, you know, they have an appropriated amount, and they can't work within that amount. They need transfers. So I don't have the answer.
Right,
I don't. But it's not sustaining, and so that's a problem.
The fire department earn? If the fire department only had to operate off the money they earned, they don't get any money. If the police department only has to operate out of the money they earn, they don't get revenue. The revenue comes into the general. I mean, this is kind of a fundamental thing. And I'm going to let David, because this is really a very important part.
Before David gets to this, so the public perception would be, we've got $90,000 here appropriated for economic development. Well, what are we spending on economic development for when we've got the need in other areas? Where did we get this $90,000?
Exactly.
In other words, who made the decision to give, I have no idea about this, the chamber, love the chamber, but who made the decision to give the chamber $50,000? Is it the council?
As a budget committee,
asking questions for the public, that, do we have any guidelines for this? I mean, the chamber name just jumped up.
I was going to get into that. Chamber. I was going to explain that issue.
I just don't want to, you know, that's what I'm saying. Do we have any guidelines? And it could go to the PAC, let's say. It could go to, that's the problem. We've got $90,000 here. Put aside the special fund. We have so many needs and demands from other areas. Why did the council, you said we have to do this?
It is a goal, one of the goals, economic development.
But one of the goals is to fund our other networks so that they can operate effectively. We'll go to you, David. You got the baton.
Let me ask a procedural question here.
All right.
I've never done this before. Are we supposed to discuss these items or just obtain information on them? In other words, are we supposed to debate whether we want that money?
We're going to vote on these at the end as to whether or not we're going to adopt this budget.
We're going to resolve them as we go through them.
Yeah, and we're going to try to get the best information possible.
And Ralph, that's a really good question, because I'm not trying to attack one thing. I'm trying to figure out, you got money coming in, and then it shows up here. And I'm trying to figure out how to get here, and is that what it was for? Is that what it was intentional for? So I'm trying to figure that out. And this document does not allow me to get that information.
It had to come.
And then the second part of that, and this is the huge one, and you brought it up, Robert, you got a lot of demands here, and these look like priorities, but then you've got other departments, main departments, what the city of Newport is responsible for, water, sewer, you know, your public works, which you heard last night. He's dying on the vine. He's hurt. And so I'm trying to justify this money here being important over that, and I need to just know how it all flows, how it got here. So that's why I'm asking those questions.
We're talking about the fact, though, that the goal has been suggested by the council in their goal-seeking process to set aside money for economic development. Excellent goal, but at the expense of the other departments that are dying for support. Where did we get this $90,000? So we're going to just put the ball back in. This is something that it has to be solved. We don't know where this is going to go. David, we're going back to you again.
The water fund and the wastewater fund stand on their own. They get no support from anybody or anything. They're proprietary, entrepreneurial businesses, as Tim said last night. They must stand on their own. And they do. The problem is something that's been around a long time, but it just surfaced recently with Tim's arrival here, although everybody knew it, is that the capital requirements are much greater than any fund can possibly absorb. And so how are we going to do that? But there's no transfer of money, liquid or otherwise, from the general fund to water or wastewater. They are the two funds that stand on their own. The general fund has 7
12 cost centers, I believe. One cost center pays for itself. Just one, municipal court. It takes in maybe $180,000 and spends about $50,000. That $130,000 difference does not pay for police, fire, city, manager, finance, or anything else. And so that's why that money is completely non-discretionary. Before we try to determine how it's going to be preliminary budgeted, which you guys are going to approve, if you say there's not going to be any economic development recommendation to the city council, there won't be, although they can later put it in anyhow. So we say, how many resources are we going to have in the general fund? We're estimating about $12 million. We're going to have $12 million in resources. What are we going to spend it on? Oh, half of it or more on payroll. What are we going to spend the rest on? There is nothing that identifies a business license dollar apart from a franchise tax fee dollar, from a property tax dollar, to a library contribution dollar, to a business license dollar, or anything else. They are completely discretionary, and they cover everything that happens in the general fund. And that's not enough. And so we tax some of the other funds, including this Tim, to pay for my time. Tim himself taxes himself because he's got a cost center that has $480,000 worth of expenses and not $1 of revenue. That's him, that's Greg Shecker, that's Tim Jones, and it's Melissa, and they create zero income. Zero. So he's got a fund that has $480,000 of expenses and no income, and a fund can't have a negative fund balance, so he taxes water and wastewater for his expenses. And that's how it starts to balance out. So what you've got is a revenue, a resource base that isn't growing as fast as the expense base. And the question is, and that's a fundamental one, what are you going to do about it?
David?
And that $90,000 is a definite issue, but it's a council goal. And there's got to be a trade-off, but you're the ones who recommend to the governing body what you think they ought to do, which they're not obligated to actually accept. But Patricia, the issue of this dollar being for this and this dollar being for this is utterly irrelevant in the general fund, as it is for just slightly over half of the discretionary fund. They're not anything, it's just the total resources, and we decided we're going to budget a little economic development, we're going to give a little to Ted, we're going to do a little bit of this, we're even going to pay the finance officer. And that's all there is, and there's nothing in the revenue specifically. But Tim, when he gets a water user fee, it's going to be used in the water fund and it's not going anywhere else at all.
David?
Yes.
You said something very important that contradicts a conversation I had with Jim about 2 weeks ago. And I had asked the question, can we take money from a general fund item and fund capital projects like we know we need in the water department? And Jim said you thought that was possible.
It is possible.
That was doable. But you just said you couldn't, and I want to get a clear answer on that, because if we took, say, this $40,000, could we transfer that into Tim Gross's capital projects for the water?
Yeah. Sure.
Yes, you could.
Okay,
you
so want to you led me to believe that wasn't correct. And if that's true, that's great, but I just want to make sure it's clear.
And I'm not sure what I said
because honestly, what I want to do is I would ask everybody in this room to do is to look at some of these things like this $40,000 or whatever and look at how we can help alleviate the need for capital in the water and reduce that impending 15% rate hike.
Okay.
And this is why I asked earlier in the meeting about your pre-budget information where you mark out here that you've got $4.5 million discretionary. That was the reason for my question, you know? Is that available to use toward something?
One month it is, the next month it might be $4.2 million. Remember, the budget is a steady document.
Right.
And it's in effect as of July 7th. By that I mean it's already enacted. we might have $3.6 million right now, because as we go further and further into the year, the property tax, the big input for the general fund, comes in November, December, and it starts disappearing, quite literally. And so by July and August, we have relatively little money in the general fund, real cash. When I say discretionary, the Tim Gross money, let's call it that, water and wastewater, is not discretionary. That's why you got $12 million here and $4 million here, because his millions of dollars cannot be spent other than on water and wastewater. Rob, two years ago already, the council, thank you, council, I'll continue to say thank you on that, authorized a capital expenditure for $140,000 for software. The problem with the general fund is, it could give Tim $100,000, it doesn't have $100,000. But it can spend, it's completely discretionary, and if the council says, transfer $100,000 to the water or wastewater fund so it helps, fine. But now you've got the most critical fund, the general fund, without $100,000, and it doesn't have a $100,000 margin. But it could spend any way the council says, even after the budget's been adopted. It simply said, we're going to change what we've done and authorize a $100,000 transfer to the water and wastewater fund, and you'd hear me speak against that, because the general fund is stretched, and it's stretched more than Tim's fund without the capital obligations.
Before the discussion is finalized on this issue, I have folded this page, and this is how it works, and put it in my book, because we're coming back to it. Okay. But it may be solved in the next discussion of all the other budgets. If we find at the end that we don't have a budget problem, fine. But if we find that we have $600,000 that's earmarked for something we don't think they should go, all we can do is make a suggestion from the budget committee to the council. The council in the end are the people who are going to make the final decision on this issue. We can input into them, that's how it works. So it's not the final word when we turn the page on page number 9 tonight. You can come back and revisit that. Yes, sir.
Can I add one more thing to that folded page?
Okay.
And what it would be is that if Tim were out there with relatively new infrastructure, and what he was trying to do over the next 10 or 20 years is create a self-sustaining water, sewer, stormwater system, then I can buy into the idea that those are businesses, enterprises that should be able to operate on their own. The trouble is, city councils for 30, 40, 50 years, citizens for 30, 40, 50 years, even the attitudes around the country for 30, 40, 50, 60 years have been to let all this infrastructure go and worry about it on another day. That did not get created by Tim Gross's program or by any program that should be expected to self-sustain itself. Now, having said that, that does, I think, what's coming out of this meeting is that does mean that at least in the short term, those critical elements stand even, as far as I'm concerned, to anything else that we're considering that would be nice to do. Now, where that all shakes out, I don't know. That's what the whole discussion is about. But it should at least be there for comparison purposes. We're going to fund $90,000 here, $50,000 there, $40,000 there for things that are very nice, very important, maybe critical. But the question is, are they as critical of getting out of this hole and setting us on the road for sustainable water, sewer, and stormwater systems?
That's why we're here to question and make suggestions.
So
I'm turning now to page number 11. Could the city manager, please? Page number 11, city manager.
City manager's is almost zero change from last year, so I don't think it, unless you've got a question, it's there isn't too much.
Information technology on number 12.
Yes, this is a one that I think that the committee wanted to pay attention to, because you'll notice it's going up quite a bit, and there's two major projects that we're looking at. One is replacing the storage area network and replacing the phone system. And fortunately, I've got Richard Dutton here, who's an expert on this, and so I want to try to explain to you what the storage area network does and how it works and stuff, because he'll explain to you the importance of it and the importance of continuing operations. So
So those are the two big drivers in increases of that. So if you have any questions, I'll ask Richard to address
them. I have a question for David, actually. That's shown as an expense rather than a capital. Don't you depreciate computer hardware and phone systems?
Well, you do if the individual cost of a piece of equipment is over $5,000 and its useful life is longer than a year. I'm not sure which one you're looking at.
Well, I'm looking at page 12, and you got the $285,000 up there as an expense. And my question is, how come it's listed as an expense rather than a capital outlay, which would imply that you're going to depreciate the cost?
Well, it's probably because I misbudgeted it, but when we actually purchased it, it would be purchased as capital outlay.
And they do get a depreciation on it?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
I'm looking at page number 13 on municipal court. Anything on this? Not much of a hellraiser there. Let's go to number 14 on general funds, facilities, and ground maintenance.
That is something that you see is, has no entry in the figure 14 fourth column because that's been moved to Tim's that he'll address next week. So that's just historical, right, which we're required to have.
And we have human resources. What are we on there with that? We have a page 15 is attorney.
She's gone, so that, again, we have to keep it for historical purposes, but there is no city attorney, there's no way, there's no cost in it anymore.
And what's this customer service here?
1050, 1052, 1055 is all we need. Customer service used to be water, but it's actually KKD or anybody at the window who takes in money for whatever purposes. It's a nominal amount. But that's just really part of the finance department now.
All right. How come on the finance department here?
That's where my question is coming right there.
Here you go.
That's where it's going to be.
Your personnel expenses hardly went up, and you're putting on a couple more people.
Because they're just two part-time people, and a full-time person we're getting in is replacing a person who is a full-time person.
I want to add also, last year we budgeted the HR person in finance, so now that's moved off into a finance, so you'll see that as well.
That's true.
What we're going to be doing now is beginning with the room tax fund on next week. We will be getting with that, Peggy, so we're going to have to restructure our agenda. Don't know how far we're going to get with that, but David has asked to make a 3-4 minute statement here, and he has a right to do that, so he's on.
Just a couple minutes. Well, it actually has to do with the non-departmental page 45, which we're getting to right now. There was a discussion about economic development, $90,000. It was new to me that we had allocated $40,000 in the city council mayor account, but now I understand why that was done. But I do want to speak to the issue we talked about at last night's council meeting, which is adding a position for economic development to the chamber. And we had a discussion at the council. No decisions have been made. In fact, what Jim has done and what the city manager, what the budget document has done is on page 46, under professional and technical services, is that correct, Jim? That $50,000 reflects what that allocation might be to the chamber? Is that what the page 46 shows? On page 46 at the very top, under professional technical services?
Yes.
Okay, so getting back to what Patricia said, last night it was indicated that even though there's not a direct one-to-one correlation of general fund money coming in and being spent on something, there was a request that if we do fund this position through the chamber for $50,000, and this is a recommendation that came from the Economic Opportunity Analysis Committee, and this council discussed this last night, but no final decisions have been made as whether we're going to fund this either at that level or any other level, but it's now a placeholder. But the business licenses were increased by $15,000, and you'll see that on page 45, in part to help fund that $50,000. So I will disagree to the point that we are being asked as a council to increase business license fees by $10, which will generate $15,000 to help pay for that $50,000 position. So in that case,
there is direct money coming into the general fund being used for a specific purpose if we go that route. So that's a caveat to what you and David said, Jim, and I think it needs to be clarified because that is something that came up at last night's council meeting.
That's a very important caveat, my goodness.
So that, and that's...
The intent would be to increase the business license fees $10, but there would be no dedicated...
I understand.
...official that says this goes to...
I understand, but...
...additional revenue coming into the general fund.
But the council is dedicated, though.
But...
No, we wouldn't...
It's not a formal dedication, but it's understood we're raising the business license fees to help pay for this position, even though it's not a formal dedication. Is that correct? That's what you said last night, and that was in the cover sheet last night for the council.
Yes.
On your fiscal notes.
Yes, but I don't think that you know, the intent is not to say that that additional money would go directly to this position. It would just go into the general fund for additional revenues to help fund this position.
So if we don't fund this position, if the council decides not to fund this position, are we still going to increase the business license fees by $10?
That's a council decision.
But I'm saying, but is your recommendation to increase the business license fees just because we should, or is it to increase the business license fees if we do pay for this position through the chamber? What's the recommendation?
If we fund additional $50,000, there's additional $50,000 need into the general fund. As a way to increase revenue to the general fund, this is one way to do it, and that's what the recommendation is.
So unless we actually say we're going to fund this, say to the chamber, oh yeah, we'll get in there, we raise the rates. But if we back up and don't do that, then we don't raise the rates. Is that what you're saying?
The option is you can include the money and not raise the rates. You can raise the rates and not fund it. They aren't necessarily really connected,
they are connected.
Out that there's going to be an additional requirement.
Jim, I respectfully disagree.
I know, but are you
connected.
Interrupting me?
They are connected. That's what we talked about last night.
And I'm trying to clarify it tonight.
Okay.
We're going to have a week to clarify these issues. It has been stated several times tonight that we need a little bit of tweaking on our information coming into us for our meeting next week. David, what is on your menu now? What are you going to prepare for us for next week so we know?
When you wake up next morning, tomorrow morning,
it'll be very early.
You will have a glossary of what they're called, object classifications. That's what the Department of Revenue calls them. So that you will have a better idea of what property services are, not consumables, consumables. I'll also rewrite my narrative. David and I talked at the break. I'll rewrite my narrative so it points out in my narrative a possible template that ties my narrative to these specific expense object classifications. And then I'd appreciate your comments because they're all valid. This is a new system and it's been a work in progress for some time. The happy news for me is I didn't have to do all these Excel spreadsheets. The bad news is it's still a work in progress after 3 years. I would like to say, Dr. Smith, that, and that's not surprising, we barely got through the general fund. We have three funds that we were supposed to get through tonight. I suspect, given the level of questioning, which I applaud, by the way, it's the first time I've seen it, and to me this is a real budget committee meeting, we should be probed and investigated and asked, not because we're doing anything untoward, but because it's a complex document. I would then put room tax and airport and parks and rec next week with URA, the Urban Renewal Agency, and SDCs. Both Tim and Derek will be here for that. That's essential.
Fine.
And I would keep water and wastewater and streets to
for the third
May 28th,
meeting.
The third meeting, or flip-flop it, the water.
No, let's just do it that way.
Okay.
Now, another information item for you. The reason why we stop at 8:30 is because we don't want to burn everybody out. I mean, come on, let's be honest. We all do a lot of stuff here for the city. But we don't want you to stay up all night and get it to us by sunrise. Please don't go doing that. You make me feel really bad. So, you know, take a day or two to get it to us, but just so that we have it. Don't go thinking you're on the clock to get it to us in 25 minutes. I know David would like it by 9:30 tonight, but he ain't going to get it.
I'm actually not worrying about it because I know David will do it when necessary. But I do have a suggestion about changing the agenda. Let me note this. David, I think we should probably do water and wastewater next week because Tim wants to come back to the council with a recommendation on May 20th. So if we want to get the budget, we want budget committee input on the increase in water and sewer rates. So it's got to be next
week. Why can't he come back the week after?
Because Tim is coming back to the Tim has timed it where the council will be asked to make a recommendation for increasing water and sewer rates on May 20th at our next council meeting. If we wait till the 28th for the budget committee to get update, it's doing it after the fact. We need the budget committee to wait until next meeting.
I think water, wastewater, and streets next week, and then everybody else on the 28th.
Yes. Jim.
Yes.
Relax. Yeah. Flip it. Is that all right with everybody to flip it? Water, wastewater next week?
Yes.
Please, everybody, we don't have enough city funds to buy helmets for everybody. Bring your helmets next week and your flag vest. And, we're coming on to the water and wastewater discussion, which is going to be a riot. This meeting is adjourned. That's it. I'm going to have it. I don't know.